All right, so believe it or not, Mother's Day is celebrated in over 90 countries today. The second Sunday in May. I thought it was only like an Australian and American thing, but I looked it up and pretty much every country in the world has some form of Mother's Day. But there's about 90 countries or so that celebrate it in a similar way to what we do here in Australia. And so it is a good thing. And the purpose of Mother's Day, especially the original purpose of Mother's Day, was to honour and show appreciation for your own mother and what they've done for you in your life. Now, gift giving, as we know, is a part of Mother's Day, has always been a part of Mother's Day, and it's not something that's just been introduced. In Australia, this tradition of Mother's Day began in the 1920s, and in fact, in 1924, by a lady named Mrs. Janet Hayden. And she was from Sydney. And Mrs. Hayden would visit lonely and forgotten mothers in homes for women. And to cheer them up, she would bring gifts that were donated by local schools and businesses to these mothers. And Mother's Day has since, unfortunately, since the 1920s and 1940s, 50s perhaps, it's become very commercialised today, as most things do become commercialised. Businesses seek to find an opportunity to make more money. And today, Mother's Day is very commercial. I don't know if you receive catalogues in your mail, but we certainly did. And most of them were related to Mother's Day over the last couple of weeks or a month. You go shopping. If you went shopping yesterday to get your groceries, you would have noticed that there are probably more people out than normal shopping for that last-minute Mother's Day gift. And there's nothing wrong with buying a gift for Mother's Day, but it has become very much commercialised. We see that most jewellery shops make a lot of money on Mother's Day. Chocolate sales go through the roof on Mother's Day. And the florist, their biggest day of the year is Mother's Day, just ahead of Valentine's Day, is the biggest day of the year for the florist industry, selling of flowers. Gift cards, of course. Buying cards is quite popular on Mother's Day. Soap, perfume, all these things that you see in the shop, and candles, and soft toys, small gifts, many things that are purchased during Mother's Day. So it is a very commercialised day. But this was never the full intention in the early days to be so commercialised. And if you think you feel guilty if you don't buy your mother a gift. But by the 1940s, Mother's Day had become so commercialised that the founder of Mother's Day in the United States became an opponent of the tradition of Mother's Day. It was that bad. She criticised the practice of purchasing greeting cards, which she saw as a sign of being too lazy to write a personal letter. And how things have changed. I wonder what she'd think about today. How many people write a letter today? Not many people write personal letters today, do they, compared to in years gone by. But you can see here that it sometimes loses its meaning. But however, even though there is too much commercialisation today, we'd probably agree with that, that it's too much focused on money-making, Mother's Day can still be a reminder for all of us to appreciate and value our mothers. And even though Mother's Day isn't mentioned in the Bible, you must celebrate Mother's Day, I think it is a good thing in a godly home to celebrate. And for us in the church today to be reminded of mothers and the way in which God has used mothers in our lives. And it's also okay, by the way, to buy a gift for your mother. If you want to do that, that's fine as well. So in the Bible, we can see that God values women, including mothers. Some of Jesus's closest and loyal helpers were women. And we see that God uses women, in particular mothers, for his work. The Bible has numerous passages referring to the value and contribution of godly mothers, especially in the home. One such passage is found in Proverbs 31, which Nick read for us today. So we're going to focus on that passage this morning. Hopefully you received a handout this morning, which has some notes there for you to take home and to remember some of the qualities that we see in Proverbs 31 of a mother. Not only a mother, though, but also a godly woman. She might be a single woman, not a mother yet, but we see that definitely there is an inference in this passage that the lady talked about is a mother in Proverbs 31. And I know from some of the ladies that I've known since I've trusted Christ as Saviour, every time you mention Proverbs 31, and especially in the context of it being preached, they get a little bit nervous. They get discouraged even at the fact that, oh, here's another message on Proverbs 31. There's a lot of stuff in there that I think I'm a failure at. Well, you know, today, it's not my point today to be preaching a message that discourages ladies this morning, mothers at all. You'll see that as we go through this passage. And that's not the intention of Proverbs 31 at all to do that. Proverbs 31 definitely is a good value for a single lady or a married lady or mother to look at and to strive towards manifesting these qualities, these attributes in their own personal life. Definitely that is true. But it's not the sole intention of this passage here. The Proverbs 31 was written by a man. And his name in verse number 1, if you go back to Proverbs 31 verse 1, his name was King Lemuel. So King Lemuel here says in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So what we read in Proverbs 31 is actually Lemuel reciting what his mother taught him. What his mother taught him about life in the first few verses that we didn't read, his mother taught him about what to look out for, the dangers in life and how to avoid those dangerous things such as a strange woman, such as immorality, such as intoxication with alcohol and things like that. And then from verse 10 onwards, we see that Lemuel's mother instructed him on what a godly woman looks like and the qualities to look for in a godly woman. So very much this is coming from a male's perspective. It's coming from a young man who was to be king and what he was instructed to see in a godly woman. So ladies, I don't want you to be discouraged when you read Proverbs 31 and say it's the perfect woman. And often I've heard ladies say themselves that the Proverbs 31 woman is superwoman. It's not true to say that she is superwoman. Yes, there are excellent qualities listed here, but by God's grace, over time, every woman can manifest these qualities that are listed here in Proverbs 31. And men, today, this message perhaps even is more for us than it is for the ladies, but men, we need to appreciate and we need to value the qualities that are listed in Proverbs 31 that we see in our wives, in your wife, or in your mother. And children, it's the same for children, isn't it, as we see our mother and these qualities within it. Then let's look at verse 10 then of Proverbs 31, and we'll see here it very much starts off with this matter of the focus on the quality here, the qualities of a virtuous woman in verse 10. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So the King Lemuel here is saying that her price, or her value is what that means there, her value is far above rubies. That means that a godly woman is a valuable treasure. She is a valuable treasure. And I've got a question today, especially for men that are here today and for the children that are here today. What I want to ask is, do we place a higher value on our wife or our mother than our job, than the toys that we own, than the fun that we have, that the work that we do around the house, or maybe our car, maybe our hobbies, maybe our interests? Do we place a greater value on our wife or our mother than these things in our lives? What do we do with something that we value? Well, you'd even be able to possibly ask a child this, and hopefully they would answer, we would look after it. Those things that we value, we look after. We protect it from danger. We spend time with those things that we value. We keep it in a safe place. We spend time thinking about those things that we value. And we tell others about it. We can't wait to tell someone about this thing that we have, which is precious to us. Something valuable. And this morning, I want us to go through Proverbs 31, listing the qualities and abilities of a godly wife or mother that we may not have noticed, we may have ignored, or we may even have taken for granted in our lives. So this is where we go to your handout now, and we're going to go through some of these qualities. And it is a long passage, but hopefully we'll go through these fairly quickly, but with enough detail to be able to glean these things that we need to appreciate and honour in our wives and mothers. And as I said, these qualities should be, we should value them in our mums and our wives, but also young men in particular, or younger men, if you're not married yet, these are the qualities that you should be seeking in a young woman as God leads you to marry in the future. These are the qualities that you should be looking for. Okay, let's read Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 29. And I'll tell you when there's a gap to fill in, that will help you out. So who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's go to verse 29, and it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The term virtuous here, or virtuously, means ability. So that's the gap there in your notes, ability. We see here, first of all, the quality of a godly woman, a godly mother, is that she has ability that is God-given. It's an ability. She has virtue that God gives her. And we also see that a particular meaning of this word is that she has strength. She has the strength and ability to be able to do certain things. And these things are listed for us in Proverbs 31, and that is God that gives her this ability. So the idea here is that she is not useless, number one. She's not useless. Women have a God-given mental strength and physical endurance that is needed, especially in the home. Especially in a home, and that's another gap there in your notes, home. And as all of us here have had mums, we're not here unless we have a mother, we can value and appreciate the influence that they have, especially in our homes. As our mums raise us as children, from being a baby all the way up to children and then into adulthood, eventually before we leave home. That's especially a time where we see these things in our mums. So some men, unfortunately, in society have a domineering attitude, and they tend to put down women and belittle them and say that they don't have much worth and they're valueless. But that's completely wrong, and that's never the intention that God had for the woman. Even Christian men can sometimes overemphasize, you must submit, you know, submission, submission, submission. And that's wrong to overemphasize that. Yes, that's a lady's position, is to submit to her husband, but they do it in a demeaning way. But by God's grace, we see here the value of a godly mother in the home. So what does God give your mum or wife the ability to do? So number one, she is a support. So that's a, first of all, support or supportive. She's supportive. Let's read. So all these things that we're going to look at today are a reminder for us to appreciate your mum on this Mother's Day, but also throughout every other day of the year as well. These are the sort of things that, and some of us might have forgotten what our mums have done for us. Some of us have had our mums pass on and they're no longer with us. But it's good for us to remember these qualities so that we can encourage the ladies that are mums today. Or we can thank our wives for the mothers that they've been to our children as well. So first of all, number one, support. Support. Let's read verse 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then let's go to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So it's being supportive. A godly mother is a support. And especially in the context here, it's referring to a support for her husband. By your side, being a solid rock that you need as a husband to do those things that God has called you to do. Notice here that in verse 11, the heart of her husband has complete confidence in her. He trusts her in what she is doing, especially in the home, that she is taking care of things, that God has given her to him to be able to be a helper. And that's a very intent that God had in Genesis chapter 2. Oh, thank you. My helper. Good time. Oh, I can see you all now. Wow. that's right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God's intent was for Eve to be a helper. And we see in Genesis 2:18 the word used is help there, a help that is meet for Adam. Adam was without her and he was incomplete without Eve. And God created Eve, the wife, to complement, to complete Adam and his role that he had to do. And the helper. And this word here, help, that we find in Genesis chapter 2, has to do with military help. It's often used as in the Old Testament as a word to describe military assistance. So you remember in the Old Testament there was a lot of battles that went on, and there was one nation rising up against another nation, and there'd be occasions when this word help was used to describe how an ally would come and help another nation to defeat the enemy. And this is exactly what God's intent was for the wife, was to be an ally, an assistant there for the husband to be able to do his job and to succeed at that. So we see here that the godly quality that we can appreciate in a mother is a support for the husband here. And we see here that this godly woman has an interest in what God is doing in your life. He fights for you. Husbands and fathers, she fights for you. She helps you to succeed. And who here, which man here can say that who's married and been married for any sort of length of time can say that he's where he is today without the help of his wife? The help that the wife provides is essential to help the husband do what he has been able to do. She protects your reputation. This is the type of quality that we're describing here. And she wants to make things easier for you and not harder. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's read verse 12 first, then we'll go back to Proverbs 12. Verse 12 says, notice this is about the godly woman. It says here, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So that's a God-given purpose, is to do her husband good. There's two purposes I want to highlight today of the godly woman that drives her to do what she does in the home and has these qualities. This is the first one we see mentioned, that she is a helper to her husband. The second one is that she wants to please the Lord. She fears the Lord. So there are two bookends of this proverb here that talk about. And the motivation for a lady is that she does everything to help her husband. That's God's purpose for her. And she does it because she fears the Lord and wants to please the Lord. She wants to glorify God by doing that. Okay, let's read verse 12. She will do him good and not evil the days of her life. And then we go back a couple of chapters. Let's go back to chapter 12, and we'll read verse 4. And we see another verse here where the word virtuous is used. Proverbs 12 verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. And that's a positive mention there. A crown to her husband means that he is able to have status and succeed in life because of her wife. Her wife is virtuous. But have a look at the second half of verse 4 here. It says, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And obviously that's not pleasant. And there can be a wife that makes things hard for a husband. that is like rottenness in the bones, that is painful and is stubborn and things like this. But we see here, and we're reminded of the quality that a godly mother has, a godly wife has, of being supportive for her husband. Let's go on to the second one here. We also see the quality of being diligent in work. Diligent in work. A godly mother is a worker. Hard work. And I'm just observing what, for instance, my wife does. And I know through my childhood what my mother did. And it is hard work. It's non-stop. It's 24/7. She's always on duty doing things for her children, her husband, for the family. And this here obviously is being the opposite of lazy and not expecting everything to fall in your lap. You can't be a mother and expect everything to come without a bit of hard work. So she takes it seriously and she finds fulfillment. And this is a key to happiness in being a mum, is it's fulfilling. This work is fulfilling because this is what God has asked her, got her to do, to be able to help in her life. Let's read verses 13 and 14. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. All these verses talk about work. Diligent in work that the mum does around the home and then outside the home as well. She goes and she brings things into the home is the idea there in verse 14. She's like a merchant ships, those ships that come in from, say for us, from China and bring all those goods into this country that we can utilise. The wife is pictured like that, that she goes afar even to bring goods into the home that are best utilised within the family. And she does that. She works hard at doing those sorts of things. And I'm sure that you can remember times when your mother is like that, and she does that. She goes and searches for the bargains. She searches for the specials. She brings them into the home so that the home would have no lack of anything, that they have all the needs. So she finds resources in different places, which I've written in the notes there. And she brings it into her home, willing to look for the best value for money. She finds the specials. Not only does she find the specials, she also prays for God's provision. And God leads her to those specials and those things that are needed in the home. Let's look at point number three, the quality. The third quality here, she rises early. And this is hard for many of us, not only mothers, but a godly mother. And if we remember our mums, and maybe even today you can remember today, maybe perhaps, or over this last week, your mum has got up early because there's been work to do around the home. And this is a quality in a godly mother, is that she rises early. Verse 15, let's look at the first part. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. One of the main reasons why mums rise early is to make sure that there's food available for the home, for her children and for her husband. If the husband goes out to work, that he has food to take with him. For the children, when they go to school or in the home, there's food for them to eat. There's work to be done, and she often has to rise early. Why does she rise early? A simple answer is because there's so much to do. You can't leave it too late or you won't get everything done. There's so much to do, and the mother knows that. And notice that she does not rise early for herself. That's a gap in your notes. She doesn't rise early for herself, but she rises early for her household. She's rising so she can minister and serve others in her home. And folks, that's what we remember today on Mother's Day as well, is that our mums have been servants in the home. They've not done it for themselves, but they've sacrificed time and energy and their sleep to get up and to do things for us so that we would have plenty of food, clothing, washing, shopping, cooking, school, cleaning, banking, first aid, hugs, baths, paperwork that needs to be filled out, all these things. And there's many more that I haven't listed that are done by a mother within the home. And she has to go down the street and things like this. All these things are done, and that's why she has to rise early. So we're only up to the third one, but already we can see qualities that we should appreciate and value in our mothers.
and in our wives. So let's go on to the fourth one here, planning and organisation. Planning and organisation. Do you know our mums are very good planners? They have been good, very good planners if we're now adults or if we're a little bit older. Our mums in the past have been a very good planner and a helper and an organiser within the home for us. Let's read verse 15 and those other verses there. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And then verse 25, strength and honour are her clothing and she shall rejoice in time to come. So we see three areas of planning and organisation here that we can value and we appreciate in our mothers, and that are stated here are good qualities for a mother to have and should strive towards. Point A, chores planning. That's the chores, the daily things that need to get done in the home. Fellas, we have to, and children, we really need to appreciate our wives for the way in which they can organise the tasks that need to be done throughout the day. There's so much to do, as we saw in the point before, that a godly mother assigns tasks throughout the day. They might not write them down in a list themselves, but in their mind, they've got in their mind what needs to get done today, and they will go ahead and try to achieve those things that need to get done. Not every day you get those things done. Things come in that interrupt the day, including the children and other things like that. But a godly mother has a plan and organisation that she wants to get this done so that her home is well ordered. Oops, what was that? Sorry. So that woke everyone up. Good. That's a tip. Sorry about that, everybody. So the first one is chores planning. And in the context of this passage, we look back in the Old Testament at the days that were around, and we see here that, of course, King Lemuel is talking about a wife that's in the palace, the royal palace, and he's a hard worker, and she would have a lot of servants and people under her that she'd have to assign tasks to throughout the day to get the work done. And she was hard working at doing that. For most of us, that's not going to be the case. But within a home, there is a list of tasks that need to be assigned that need to get done throughout the day that she can organise. And then point number B, she's not only assigning those tasks throughout the day, but she's also a financial planner. She's financial planning. And many mothers have this quality where they plan financially, they manage the money, they find a bargain. And this is what it's talking about here in verse number 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. So a godly mother often makes a purchase that she sees as something that's worth getting. She'll make that financial decision, of course, in consultation with her husband, but she'll have the idea that this is a value for money, and then she'll go out and she'll purchase it. And she's done that because she's got that God-given ability that she's able to make that sort of good value for money decision. She's financial planning, and we can appreciate, we need to appreciate our wives and our mothers for being able to do this. Point C, investment planning. Not only is she a financial planner, she uses the money well and she gets a bargain, she also invests in those things that in the future will bring blessing to her and the home. And this is what we see in the second part of verse 16 onwards. It says, with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 25 says, strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In time to come, because of the labour that she puts in, the energy that she puts in, and the smart decision, her attitude, that she has to herself plant this vineyard with her own hands, that in the future this will pay off for the family. And this is the attitude that we see here. She invests through her hard work so that in the future her family is not without. And this is the godly mother, and this is what we ought to be appreciative of and thank our mums for throughout the year. Number five, she stays up late. Not only does she rise up early, but she also stays up late. And most mums here would be able to tell you that there are times in their lives where they haven't had much sleep. But this is something that we can really value and appreciate in our mums, that they stay up late. Okay, Proverbs 31, verses 18 and 19. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And then verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. That's just clothing, another word for clothing there, girdles, clothing to the merchant. So we see here that there's work to do. And this is a picture here of the mother who stays up late when everyone else goes to bed. When the children have been put down to sleep, and the husband perhaps has gone to bed because he's got to get up early and go off to work in the morning, the mother often stays up late at night to do work around the house. The word merchandise here is referring to those items that God has provided for her, has supplied for her within the home. And how does she refer to them? It says here that she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Those things that God has blessed her with and provided the home with, she values them. This is referring to the mother here being a good steward of those things that have been given to her, no matter what it is. There might be rags. There might be something small. Might be something secondhand and used that has been given to her. But she values that. She sees it as coming from God, and she uses it for the family's good. We see here reference here of the spindle and the distaff in verse 19. These are implements that were used to take the thread, which if we look in verse 13, that's the wool and the flax. So she's gone out and got the raw materials, the wool and the flax. And then at night, what is she doing? She's making clothes. She's making items of linen and clothes for the household with those raw materials that she's gone out and sourced, for God has provided for her. So this is a blessing and a value and appreciation that the rest of the home can have in a mum that's able, that God gives the ability to be able to do this. His be a good steward of what God has given her. So things have changed a little bit these days. Not everyone's got the out there with a distaff. I don't know if you own a distaff. I haven't heard of one. But probably people might have a sewing machine or something like that. But not everyone can sew and make clothes and all that sort of thing. But we have an abundance in this country because we live in a truly blessed country where we can go to op shops. We can go to department stores, supermarkets, whatever it might be, and have very reasonably priced clothing that you can get for your family. And this is something that we can really value in our mothers, is that they clothe us, they buy us the things that we need, and most importantly, of course, one of those things is clothing, things that we wear, the socks and all those things that we have to keep us warm. And to keep us comfortable throughout the year. So she stays up late working on these things. It's not only that, though. Once you have those things made, you've got to clean them, you've got to dry them, you've got to iron them, you've got to sew them, you've got to mend them. So there's all these things that we can... hopefully, I know I've been reminded of a lot of things that my mum's done for me, and also what my wife does for our family at the moment. We can definitely appreciate these things. But let's go on then to point number six. Not only does the mother do all these things in the home, but she's also compassionate. Compassionate is point number six. And let's look at verse 20 to see this, that she is compassionate. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. I know I can put my hand up and say that I've seen this demonstrated in my mum and my wife. I think you probably could put your hand up and say that too. If there's a need in the home, let's just think of in the home for a minute. If there's a need, if you fall over it as a child and you've grazed your knee and there's a bit of blood and things like that, the mum normally comes and stretches out her hand and helps you because you're in a time of need. But outside the home as well, we see the value of a mother is that she will see a need that's outside the home as well and try to meet that need. And this is a picture here of this godly quality within a mother here, is that she's compassionate. She is kind and generous by nature. She looks on the needs of other people in her home as well as other people outside her home, and she will try her best to be able to meet those needs. That's what the implication is with those words, stretcheth out her hand. She doesn't wait for people to come to her. She goes and she sees other people in need. She stretches out her hand and she reaches forth her hands to be able to help others. And we can value this in our mums as well. She shares what she has. So what God gives her, she is willing to give that to others that are in need. And I'm sure you've seen that in your own household, where you might have seen someone's come into the home and your mother or your wife is quite happy and free to share some food, a drink, whatever it might be that there might be a need for, with someone else who has a need at that time. And that's a true blessing to know. And today, a mum can manifest this in many ways. Like I said, she can give a hug to the child in the home that's hurt themselves. She could look after a sick child. This is all this compassionate spirit that a mother has. She can care for the elderly. She can send care packages to missionaries. She has a heart's concern for other people outside the home, and she'll try to meet that need that she can see. She can help meet the needs in other people, whether that's a need for food, or whether that's a need for money, or whether that's a need for assistance in other people. And we see here that a quality that we can appreciate our mums for is that they've reached out to other people and shown compassion there as well. So we're drawing towards the end here, but so far we can see that there's many things that we can value in our mums and in our a godly wife as well. So wise speech. Point number seven, she will have wise speech. And this is referring to the fact that as she spends time with the Lord, especially a godly mother, she will know what to say, but she will also know how to say it. And I know as a man, sometimes we can say things and it doesn't come out right. It comes out pretty wrong, and what we're trying to explain in the home or to our children or even to our wife. But oftentimes, mothers have a way of saying things, don't they? They have a way with children of putting them on the knee and being able to explain something in a compassionate and a caring way that is needed within the home. And even as we grow older as well, our mums often have wise words to say to us, to help us in seeking the Lord and keeping the home together. So how many people does a mum have contact with? Well, if we really thought about it, it would be many people. Not only does a mother have contact with her children in the home, she has contact with her husband, she has contact with people that she goes down the street in the shops, and other mothers and other people, whether it's in the school environment or other, elsewhere, mothers have many opportunities to use their speech wisely to build people up. And mums do this. And hopefully your mum's been a mum who does these sorts of things. An example of kindness, as it said, is in verse 26 there. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Mothers have a way of demonstrating and being an example of kindness in the home. They share things, and they think of other people, and they say words of kindness in the home. So wise speech is another thing that we can appreciate in our mums. So when mum says something to you, if your mum's if you still have contact with your mother, if your mum says something to you that you appreciate, she says something that sounds and helps you in her speech, I think that's an opportunity for us to say thank you for what she says, and she would appreciate that. So point number eight, household management. We see this is a quality in a godly mother. Household management, verses 27 and 28. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children ariseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So by household management here, we're referring to the fact that essentially God has given a mother the role of managing the home. Now, this doesn't mean that the mother or the wife is the head of the home. I'm not saying that. But God has given her the ability and the role to manage the home and the home affairs, the habits, the things that go on in the home. The husband is the head of the home, of course. That's what God's order is, that he has designed. But as far as things and duties around the home go, we see here that a godly woman manages the house well. She manages the house well and takes care of things so that the husband has no need of lack, which is what we read earlier in verse number 11, no need of spoil. So this household management here refers to the fact that the husband doesn't have to worry about anything. He knows that the home is being taken care of, that his wife and the mother of the children is taking care of things at home. And especially the picture here is when he goes out and does his work, that the mum's taking care of everything at home. She's a good household manager. So the result of her diligent management is praise from her family. In verse 28, we see that her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And men, this is a point for us here to remember today, that I think it is right for us to have our place in the home is to teach our children how to praise their mother, how to thank their mother. I think that's a responsibility that we have. We, first of all, set the example by showing our love for our wives and the appreciation for them. But then that passes on to the children, that we teach our children how to value and appreciate our mums and what they do in the home and the blessing that they are. Number nine, inner beauty. And this is that second one that I was talking about that is the motivation for a godly mother within the home is, first of all, that she, the things that she does are to be a support and a blessing to the husband, the father. And then the second one is here because she fears the Lord. The motivation for what she does is to fear the Lord. Inner beauty. Let's look at verse number 30. Favour is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A lot of focus today in society is on outward beauty. We need to point out, first of all, that there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. There's nothing wrong with presenting yourself in a nice appearance. The way in which we can get wrong in that area is if we focus on the outward appearance so that the inner heart is neglected. And we can start to look more like the world, which focuses too much on the outward appearance, and grossly so, and not focus on the inner man, the inward heart that God is concerned with. So this lady here who fears the Lord, she shows reverence to the Lord. That essentially means that she loves the Lord. She lives for the glory of God in her life. And this is a quality that we... young men that are not married, you should especially be seeking in a wife, not necessarily how she looks on the outward appearance, but what is her heart like? Does she desire to do things that are pleasing to the Lord? Her thoughts, and this is the godly mother, her thoughts are, is this what the Lord wants? And the word of God carries weight in her decisions. So one of the things that we can appreciate about a godly mother is that she will make a decision based on what the Word of God says. She won't just make a decision just because she thinks, oh, that's what everyone else is doing. She'll just make a decision because she's intimately connected to God through the Word of God, and she knows that this will please the Lord because it's what the Word of God says. So the Word of God carries weight in her decisions. God has first place in her heart. And this is a precious treasure to know that a mother has this quality. She is spirit sensitive. I think that's a gap in your notes. She is spirit sensitive and spirit controlled. And that all relates to, of course, having a submissive spirit. And, of course, having a submissive spirit to God, first and foremost. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll see some verses here relating to this point, that to value a mother that is godly, you know, is godly, spirit-led, spirit-filled, and has a submissive spirit to the Lord, and has a desire, a sweet spirit to do what the Lord wants. And that's found in 1 Peter chapter 3 as well. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. It says here, this is directed towards wives, verse 3. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So here we go. Here again we see the virtuous woman being of value greater than rubies, and we see a relationship here in 1 Peter that says here that this wife that has the meek and quiet spirit, that doesn't mean she doesn't say anything. She has to remain completely silent. It means that she's tender and teachable to what God's will is in her life. And she won't argue and buck against what God wants in her life, but she will submit to God's will, God's desires for her in her life. And that is of great price, and that is something to value and something that we should thank our mothers for and our wives for today and every other day of the year when we see this in them. And it's that these verses are pretty amazing in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter, because the context here, ladies in particular, is that it's the context of a husband that is not walking with the Lord. In verse number 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that means the husbands, if they're not walking with the Lord, if they're not obeying the word of God, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the conduct, the behaviour of the wife. So this here is a God-given ability that God gives a wife to have this spirit, even though your husband might not be the best husband in the world, even though your husband might not be walking with God. Okay, so that's an important thing to value. And if that has occurred in your home, thank your mum for being godly in character, even when the husband or the father hasn't been walking with the Lord. That's something we ought to value and appreciate in a mother. So let's conclude by saying that no mum is perfect and no mum is going to demonstrate these qualities every time in all situations, but they're here for us to see that we can definitely appreciate and value mothers that demonstrate these qualities, these God-given qualities by His grace in the home. And to remember that Mother's Day is not the only day to appreciate our mums. We should appreciate them every day. And I don't know if you did something special for your mum this morning or your wife. Maybe you made them a special breakfast or something like that. That's a nice thing to do on Mother's Day. It really is a nice thing to do. But I think the Lord would probably want us to do that at other times of the year as well, for a nice surprise. And to see, do you know that valuing and appreciating our wife and our mother encourages them? And that's something certainly that they need and that God uses in their lives. So I'd encourage you today, if you haven't already done it, and if you're able to get in contact with your mother and to thank her genuinely. Perhaps some of these things that we've gone through today have reminded you of some of those good qualities that you see in your mum or have seen in the past when you were living in the home, to remind them of your appreciation for that and to encourage them, because I'm sure the Lord will use that in their lives as well. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage, how it is very helpful for us to see the blessing and the praise that we can give, Lord, for a godly mother, for mothers that have, Lord, been following your lead, Lord, to Lord, rely on your strength, Lord, and Father, to exhibit these abilities that you give them to do. These things such as look after the children in the home and, to provide food and clothing and to stay up late and get up early and to be compassionate and, Lord, to show love to others and to reach out, Lord. And, Father, to all these other things that we've seen today, Lord, we praise you for our mums, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, that you use them in our lives and that, Lord, that you mould us and help us to be more Christ-like because of a godly mum. So help us, Lord, strengthen us, Lord, to be filled with wisdom today, to be able to be a blessing, Lord, to our mum, or if we don't have our mum with us anymore, to another mum or our wives, Lord, and to appreciate them and to give them great value in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.